everyone. Welcome to another episode of What the Hal. And I got to tell you, what the hal is going on this week is really special. And it's something that's very positive, very uplifting. It's a new initiative from the television station I work for here in Los Angeles, Fox 11, KTTV. And what we're doing as we roll into the fall and roll into the new school season is we're running a campaign basically called School Standouts. And these are people that have made a difference in schools, whether they're students or teachers and administrators. And you have the opportunity to name people here in the Southern California area that you think are school standouts. And we'll tell you at the end of this podcast how to do that. But right now, meet my guest.
Hi, my name is Madison Steer. I'm from San Clemente.
Hi, I'm Shannon Steer.
Hi, I'm Dr. Deshelle Bird.
Hi, I'm Joseph Sicola.
Hi, I'm Kendall Steer.
Oh, and I'm Megan Colarossi.
And we're talking about a lot of things right now, but particularly about good news. And it happens to be that we have a project at our television station, Fox 11, called School Standouts. And that includes students that are amazing, teachers that are amazing, administrators, parents, schools. And it's something that was spearheaded by Megan. And Megan, why don't you tell everybody about it, what we're hoping to accomplish, and what your feelings have been?
Sure. Well, the whole premise of School Standouts, one day we were in a meeting, our editorial meeting here at Good Day LA, and I said, you know, do we cover high school sports? It started with something simple like that. And they're like, no, we don't. And I said, well, do we cover students or people doing amazing things? And everyone was like, we should. I'm like, yes, we should. And then School Standouts was born, and I did my first piece on Kendall here, Kendall Steer. She's my inaugural School Standout piece. And the whole premise is simple. We want to highlight students, schools, volunteers, parents, teachers in our community doing amazing things, whether it's as an athlete, as a, you know, an educator, as a student, or just as a parent who makes a difference at their school.
I'd really like to have you, before you leave, because Megan's got a kind of shoot out of here, but let me have you talk to Kendall for a minute, because you did this story with Kendall. Kendall is an amazing young lady, and I want you to explain why.
Well, Kendall is an all-state CIF champion. She's held world records, or I think national records, right, Kendall, in the shot put. And I read about her story online in a local paper, and I called her mom immediately, and I said, I think this is the one. I want to do this story on her daughter, who is changing the way para-athletes are looked upon. She has cerebral palsy. She's had it since birth. She has a twin sister, Madison, who's equally as talented. They're both talented. And the mom, at first, I had nothing to show her to say what we were doing. She goes, well, I want you to tell our story right. And I said, I promise you, there's no gotchas. There's no gimmicks. This is all about telling someone's story and making you feel good. I have no agenda. And if you meet me, you just like to talk to me. That's what I said. I said, I am a daughter of a teacher, and I just want to highlight your daughter and your family as someone who's doing amazing things. And when you met me, what did you think? I brought my kids, because I didn't have help that day, just like Joseph Sicola here is carrying his baby inside this podcast room, our teacher who we're going to talk about next. But I brought my girls, and I wanted them to show amazing females doing something spectacular. And you're an amazing athlete and a person.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot.
And like I said, when I first met you, I said, wow, you're the world record holder. You're like, we're going to shot put at our house. I'm like, what? And Kendall's mom, Shannon, is her coach.
Hi.
Hi. And you shot put in the back of your house.
Yes.
What did you think when you saw the piece?
I was kind of speechless. I was like, wait, that's me. And, you know, I 4 years ago, little freshman self Kendall, I would have never thought that I would have been on a TV, and I wouldn't have thought that I would have even made it to state and all that. So it was really I was in awe. Yeah.
Well, you're in awe, and I think I have to ask your sister and your mom. Do you think I captured Kendall's spirit and who you guys are?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Kendall is just so genuine and as a person that really translated in your report. And it was so cool having someone support her and just really being there to show her that she should be recognized for what she is and that she is doing really great things. It was really cool to have someone like you come and affirm that.
And then you had Mama Hen, Shannon, the mom of these two beautiful and strong women. And you were particular with me. You're like, please just tell this story right. And I said, I will honor you and I'm not, you tell me.
I appreciate that, because we have done, we've done some interviews, we've been around, and one of the things that really will always stand out for us about that day is that you let us tell the story without shaping it or molding it into your idea of what you wanted it to be. I think our story is inspirational, and I think if you just let us tell everybody out there that if you have somebody with a physical disability that wants to come into high school sports, like, now is the time, and you did that without editing us, and I think, you know, I appreciate that most about your organic grassroots take on this. Is just, you know, the story is there, just let them tell it. I don't need to shape and mold this for anybody, and we appreciate that.
And what people don't realize is, you give up, guys, everyone here, including Dr. Bird and Joseph Sokola, you guys give up a lot of time. And I say, it's only going to be 4 minutes long, this piece, and I have a couple hour and a half, 2 hours with you. I promise you, at the end of these 2 hours, I will capture your essence. And it's my job to go back and look at the tapes, as Hal knows, as a reporter, and tell their story in a way. And it brings me such joy. And every day I tweet out or Instagram these pictures and tell people. And there's another school standout. People here, including our anchors, other anchors, and the crew and my fellow journalists here, it's the highlight of the day. It makes me smile. It's now the reason why I'm here at Good Day LA.
So I want to say something before you leave.
Okay.
Because Megan has a very busy schedule, and she's running here and running there, and we were lucky enough to get her for a few minutes. But, you know, I think that, and I'm going to speak broadly, but I think that we have a lot of tools in our reporter toolbox. And I think that one of them, and not everybody has it the way some people do, is sensitivity. And I think that you score very high on sensitivity and feeling what other people are experiencing, and it translates. And I think that, you know, for anybody who has not seen any of these stories, and you're going to see a lot of them because we're really just getting this initiative off the ground, but for anybody who hasn't seen this, Megan really is the quintessential people person, and she just does this so well. And I don't blow smoke, you know that.
I don't
blow smoke. And so I just want you to know that I think you're just amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So
you're gonna make me cry, Hal. What the hell? I'm a bitter, bitter mother. No, just kidding. I have to run, and you're gonna hear from Teacher of the Year, Joseph Zicola, and you're also gonna hear from Dr. Bird, who is the principal and former Washington, you know, George Washington Prep. She's a general, and she's making changes there. And Damien is one of her students we highlighted. But you guys have changed my life for the good.
Aww,
quote
thank
broadly,
you.
So.
Thanks,
Megan, give me one last what the hell.
What the hell?
I like it. Thank you, Megan. We love you. All right, so let's get back to having a conversation here about what you've been through, Kendall, because I think that we alluded to some things, but that doesn't mean that everybody understands exactly what we alluded to. You have been, since birth, dealing with cerebral palsy. Can you talk about that?
Correct. And, you know, I have been blessed with a family that has always pushed me to, you know, do whatever I wanted to do. And I've been in sports because of them, and they've been always encouraging. And, you know, this started because I just wanted to be in sports with my sister, and track and field, high school track and field, allowed me to do that. And I think when we talk about adaptive sports and the Paralympics as a whole, it's not just you know, it's not just like winning a medal or getting first place or beating your record. It's, you know, about, you know, deleting a social stigma around people with disabilities that says that you can't do sports, when that's just incorrect.
Let's tell people, Mom, a little bit about cerebral palsy, because sometimes we think of these illnesses as being debilitating and increasingly debilitating, and yet that's not the case with this.
Not with cerebral palsy. Typically, you know, there's no two cerebral palsies the same. Cerebral palsy affects your brain. For Kendall, you know, I did have twins. Kendall is twin A.
They're fraternal.
Yes. Madison and Kendall. Kendall was first by 12 minutes, and her birth was a struggle. And during her birth, the umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck, and it basically didn't allow her to get oxygen as quickly as she needed to as a brand new infant. And, you know, we didn't know that day we didn't know for months that she was going to be diagnosed with a disability called cerebral palsy. When the doctors first told me, I didn't even know how to spell cerebral palsy. I didn't know what it was. But in short, it's, you know, a Latin word that means pause in the brain, which means that some of her brain tissue died that day. And it's not going to grow back. So this is not going to get worse for Kendall. The thing of it is where doctors maybe 10, 20 years ago used to say it's never going to get better. That's where this gets really interesting, because we have neuroscientists now, neurosurgeons, who are finding through brain scans and technology that we didn't have when Kendall was born in 2001. We have technology now showing that the brain can reroute pathways that were normally not supposed to root through the way in the brain that they are now, and that's called plasticity, brain plasticity.
That's fascinating.
So she's been able to overcome a lot. I'm really proud of her.
And the future is wide open, because as technology continues to develop, they may be able to find things that will help her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where this gets really exciting. But being a part of sports is being a part of society. Every kid, regardless of their gender or their race or their religion or their zip code or their ability or their disability, should have a chance to play sports. Nobody should be held out of sports, because there's things that sports teaches you as a kid that you can't learn in the classroom. And I think, you know, one of the things Kendall told me that just blew my mind is when I asked her a year or two ago, you know, what has sports taught you? And she told me forgiveness. And it just really took my breath away. It made me pause myself that playing sports taught you how to forgive. Now, if every kid could learn to forgive just a little bit more than they do right now, I think the world would be a much better place. And most people would agree with that.
I want to talk to your younger sister. Because you're the older sister, right?
Yes, I joke that it was the best 12 minutes of my life.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Round of applause, everybody. That's very, very good.
I love you, too.
Wow.
Well done.
All right, Madison. Where do you go from there?
Wow. I mean, we joke about it, and we're very competitive with each other. But at the end of the day, Kendall's always been my teammate. Whether that's through sport or just through life, she's always been there for me.
Are you best friends?
Oh, for sure.
Like the bestest of besties?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah. You seem very close.
Yeah.
That's the impression I have.
We're not as close as like the creepy twins where they finish each other's sentences, but we're very close.
And so you were doing field and track, and she wanted to join you, and that's sort of how this got going? Is that the way that went?
So basically, I did the running events long distance, so the 800, 1600, 32. And Kendall and I have never really been able to be on the same team. We've always been forced to be on separate teams, but growing up, even in just our town soccer game, we weren't able to be on the same teams, but you would find us on the weekends passing to each other, and being able to play with each other, and I would practice being keeper and she would score on me. And I was always thinking, wouldn't it be cool if we could actually do this as a team and not just use it as a way to practice on the weekends? And that really happened in 2016 when I joined the track and field team, and I was doing the long distance running events. And my sister wanted to also join the track team, and she was able to do that through parish output.
So I want to ask Mom a question, because clearly, your daughters are very active in sports, and they are enthusiastic about it. The Olympics are coming to Los Angeles 2028. That's still a few years away. But there's an issue that concerns you, and I'd like for you to explain it to everybody.
Well, sure, and I appreciate that, Hal. First of all, the Olympics and the Paralympics are coming to Los Angeles in 2028. And while we had changes in 2016 where CIF, California Interscholastic Federation, allowed inclusion sports to be added as a division, where para athletes could then participate in some track and field events and swimming, collegiately, we don't have that opportunity. So here's here's the problem. So Kendall started as a freshman in 2016 and was on the track and field team, and she got really good. As a matter of fact, she's the state champion of 2016-2018. She just got beat, by the way. And we congratulate Viva from Notre Dame High School because she is the current champion. But the thing of it is there's no place for Viva or Kendall to go after high school until you get to Team USA. And there's a huge gap. And that's the collegiate level, right? I think if the Pac-12, which would, you know, encompass schools like Stanford, USC, UCLA, were to amend their track and field constitution and allow for para-athletes to score points in NCAA games, we would then be counted. But at this point, Kendall's points don't count. So no coach is going to recruit her. Nobody is going to offer her an athletic scholarship. And there's just a huge gap between high schoolers at the CIF level who are winning, even on the national scene, and to Team USA is there's a road, there's a long road. And anybody that you interview, an Olympian or a Paralympian, is going to say, you know, the road to Tokyo, the road to Paris, the road to Los Angeles, it doesn't happen in a day or a track and field season or even 4 years. And so I think that's where the gap is right now in Los Angeles, is we're the host city, and yet there's no colleges. There are no universities here on the West Coast in California or even in Los Angeles that will allow her to play. And so, you know, I say, like, you know, look, people say, well, you know, you look like you feel like you're on the sidelines. I'm not on the sidelines. I'm not even in the stadium. My tickets, right, were purchased. I'm a taxpayer. I have been in Los Angeles for over 30 years, and I've paid my fair share. So my taxes helped build the university of Los Angeles, UCLA, and yet I can't get my kid there. I can't get my para athlete there. I can't even get anybody to return my phone call. I mean, Stanford returned my call, but USC and UCLA didn't even return my phone call because they have nothing to say because there's nothing there for her. And it's just mind blowing to me.
So you know, I'm going to say at this point, because I haven't talked to any of those folks,
right,
that, you know, it's not happening, but it doesn't mean it won't ever happen.
No, I think it will happen. I mean, last month, the United States Olympic Committee changed their name to the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee. That happened on June 20th. That was last year. They just are now making an equal medal payout for Olympians and Paralympians. So before, if you were an Olympic athlete and you won gold, you got a certain amount of money. If you were a Paralympian and you won gold, you got a lot less. And now today, as I sit here, I'm telling you, they're equal payouts. They've changed their name. CIF has allowed high school athletes to participate. Like the literally the last frontier, the last missing link of this is collegiate play. We want to be counted. We want our points. But trust me, if you put us on the team and you count our points, we're going to win for you. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, I want to, you know, again, these are issues, just like all life issues, that climb mountains in order to get to the top.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's a matter of time, and I'm sure you'll keep us posted on sort of how all this goes. Kendall, you have anything else you want to say?
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, once was a day when, like, people were wondering if people of color could play sports, and then there was a day when people thought, could women play sports, and now we are at a day where people are asking, can people with disabilities play sports? And like I've said, it's just defeating a social stigma that says that we can't. And the reality is I can, and the reality is it's not can I play, it's will you let me play.
Yeah, and I think that's a very significant thought. Okay, so you are one of our Fox 11 student standouts or school standouts, because a school standout could be a teacher, it could be an administrator, it could be a school, it could be a parent, it could be anybody except me. So, because I'm not in school anymore, right? So let's bring in two more people. First of all, we've got Dr. Deshelle Bird, who's the principal of George Washington Preparatory High School here. And Joseph Zicola, who's an English teacher for the Sherman Oaks Center for Enriched Studies, and he was named the LA Unified School District's Teacher of the Year in 2018. That is a significant honor, I think. And while you're holding your baby, and I want you to tell us about your baby, because we've heard a few whimpers here and there in the background, but Joseph, come on up to the mic. Tell us a little bit about your baby and what it meant to you to be named a Teacher of the Year.
My son's name is Joseph Zakola III. I'm a junior. And I'm a late starting parent in my late 40s, so that was the biggest gift this year. But the gift last year, being one of the 22 Los Angeles Unified School District Teachers of the Year, was a pretty impressive gift, especially with the teacher force of well over 30,000. It's impressive. And just sitting here, by the way, I want to exchange phone numbers and figure out how we're contacting the NC2A and looking at Title IX issues, because that seems like a Title IX issue as well, equal access for everyone. But sorry, I just wanted to say it's the idea that it brings us together in this way, I think, is fantastic, because overcoming obstacles is what teachers and administrators are supposed to be helping kids to do every single day. And absolutely, you're leading the way. We need to follow and make sure more people can do that.
You also have been named a Fox 11 School Standout. And what does that mean to you?
As I said in the broadcast, it was really, really validating. And I also said in Megan's piece that there's so many good teachers. I know I'm good. There's so many. So it's nice to be recognized, and it's nice to have the chance to say there are thousands of us who are doing what I'm doing. And I'm lucky to be one of the ones recognized, but it's nice what you're doing for public education. I think that's amazing. And just to piggyback on the point about Kendall's piece, my wife saw Megan's piece and said, they captured you and they captured your students. And that, in case my game slips when he's old enough to appreciate me, at least I'll have that. You know what I mean? It's really wonderful.
There's some things you told us about your way of approaching students and engaging with students that I thought was very warm. You, first of all, you end the class by saying,
I love you.
And I love you too. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. What the hell, right?
What the hell?
And I think.
And thank you for helping me with the dad jokes as I got to practice because he's getting old.
Believe me, I've got plenty. I've got so many I can't even begin to tell you. But I think that it's nice to be able to honor not only the kids but the teachers, because school teachers have a tough enough time. Just getting pencils and pads sometimes can be a challenge. And, of course, we saw the school strike last year. We saw all the sort of things that, have been a financial problem for the districts that have been involved in any kind of school strife. There are always issues related to schools, Principal Bird. And yet, it's nice to be able to single out those who are doing something positive.
Yes,
right?
It is. Absolutely.
Right. And talk to us about that. You have a student, and pull the mic over a little bit toward you, but you have a student named Damian.
Yes.
Who is a valedictorian, who was surprised to find out he was the head of the class.
Yes,
he was.
He
also
was
one of our school standouts.
Yes, and Damian is an amazing individual, very, very humble. He came to me in my third year of my principalship at George Washington Prep, and he was just an amazing light. He started off as a ninth grader and joined the student leadership. So he actually became the ninth grade president, and then he became the 10th grade president, and then he became the 11th grade president, and closing out his senior year, he was the student body president. And just overall, with the struggles of just living in the community, the violence that's around, he was able to center himself around my whole amazing student population and just really continue to work. I'm very fortunate to have a school full of students. I can pick any Damian around the campus of a lot of kids that are really, really, really pushing through and living out their dreams and really taking advantage of what education does have to offer.
There's so many students, and for every student that you have, there are that many personalities.
Yes.
And there are that many types of individuals that have certain levels of energy. And some are much more dynamic, and some are more withdrawn. You have extroverts, you have introverts. How do you sort of see students that rise to the level of something special?
Overall, as long as they really just focus on developing who they are as a person and really focus deeply on being the best, I see students being able to rise. Really a lot of humility. Damian as a student was just really focused on just enjoying high school, listening to the mentors, listening to the adults around him, taking a lot of good direction, and using his personality and charisma just to, greet you with a smile. The relationships were really, really key, and they're key around my entire campus.
Let me just sort of, yeah, go ahead, Joseph, because I want to hear what you have to say.
No, I just want to say the Damians are the ones you celebrate because they're already doing it, or the Kendalls. But I think as teachers and administrators, our job is to you know, challenge those students because they need the challenge, but to find those kids who we see in them something they don't see yet and get them to see it. And then all of a sudden you see students realizing potential they didn't know they had. That's, for me, that's my greatest joy, watching a student go, wow, I can do this. I had a student this year who is going to UC Riverside, and he was kind of a slacker when I got him in 11th grade. By the end of a challenging year, he went, I want to do APs, I want to push myself. And this kid's an amazing soccer player. Now he realizes he's an amazing scholar as well. He's a scholar athlete.
I got to tell you, I mean, it feels to me, and this is just a sort of a sideline observation, that when you elevate somebody and you say out loud, you're special, that can have a powerful and dynamic impact on a person's life. It can change the course of whatever they're doing that day. And, you know, just being exposed to things can change the course of what a person is doing. And so I think that, you know, I'm proud that our station has sort of decided to do this thing. I'm not saying that because I work here at the station. I'm saying that because I think as a parent that, you know, anytime I've ever seen that kids are lifted up, that and they know it, that they do better. That they excel in different ways. It's hard to say whether it be quantitative, qualitative, what they may do, what they might not do. But they, no matter what it is that they look at, they're lifted up, and then they are lifted up in their own perspective. They have their own sense of confidence. They have their own sense of being.
I'm doing a training for a teacher training program doing, so I'm being trained to be a trainer. And they gave us a study to look at, and the study talked about four different factors you could use to help students grow more. And the one that had the most impact was high expectations. But what that means is us saying to the kids every day, this is hard and I know you can do it. Now let's go get you to do it. But students respond to that because someone's saying, I believe in you. There's nothing more important than that.
But see, you know, you have to point at Kendall because
absolutely.
Because absolutely. Hard is always not easy. and when you are thrown disabilities in life, And you know, you didn't have anything to do with it. This is how you were born. This is how you came out. This is how you've lived. That's all you've ever known. You rise to the occasion. What's that ring that you're wearing?
This is my first CIF state ring. This is what I
thought maybe you were on, you know, some Super Bowl football team. That's a heck of a ring.
Yeah, no, this is the very first CIF state ring that I earned my freshman year.
And you wear that proudly?
Yes, I do.
And every time you look at it, what do you think?
You know, I think it's kind of, I'm at a loss for words because I remember just thinking that there's no way that I could make it to that level. There's like, you know, I have sometimes difficulty putting one foot in front of the other. Like there's, and then as I look back and as I look back to my freshman year, you know, getting that state championship, and I realize like, no, this is something I can do, and this is something that I'm passionate about, and this is something that means a lot to me because not only is it me just throwing a shot put, it's like I said, I can't stress enough, this sport has helped me defeat a social stigma around people with disabilities, and I think actually a lot of my peers and teachers viewed me in a different way when I was in sports, and it helped helped them see my potential. And yeah.
So let me try the short version of what you just said. When you look at that ring, does it in fact make you feel like, you know what, I can do anything?
Yes, it does. It really does. And you know, when I first started in 2016, you know. And high school para sports was just starting as well. You know, a lot of people didn't know that students with physical disabilities could now compete in sports. So, like, a lot of people gave me looks. I have a seated shot put chair that you have to stake into the ground. And when we unstaked it, one of the one of the moms thought my stakes were gopher holes.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, it's just stuff like that. And that's why the high school program, it's slowly, but it's slowly growing. And that's why I have to give a shout out to Viva. That's why when she broke my state record, it stung a little, of course, because it's competition. But a part of me was actually happy because I know that the program is growing and that there's other people that are interested into being a para athlete. And yeah.
And it probably also means that there's somebody you can go back and beat now.
Yeah. Well, actually the part that stings about it is that I've graduated high school, so I can't.
At the national level, but yeah, certainly not at the state level anymore. And if there's one thing I could add to Hal is, you know, that ring is really blingy, and you get that when you're the state champion and you set a record. But on the inside of that ring, she engraved a Bible verse, Galatians 1:11 or 1:10.
1:10.
Galatians 1:10. And, you know, essentially, Kendall's heart is I think one of the things that takes people back the most is that she didn't do it to please people. She did it for God. And she always gives glory to God every time she's talked to a mayor or a senator or a congressman. We've been back at Washington, D.C., and the first thing she does is, she thanks God for her abilities. And I think that really takes some people back because we call it the G word. It's like, oh, no, you just didn't say God, and you're from school, and how does this all come together? But for us, it does, you know, and I think the secret sauce to the Olympics is having Paralympians, you know, train right next to you. When you're a able-bodied person and you're the fastest female runner in the world, let's say, and you're on Team USA, and you see, you know, another woman or a man, you know, strap on two blade legs and outrun you in 60 meters, you know, whatever, it mentally affects you. It makes you push harder because you're like, if they're missing body parts and they're able to perform at this level and get through the pain, I've never heard them gripe about anything. What maybe I should like come back to my game. And I think that's what makes Team USA special is that Team USA doesn't separate able-bodied athletes and disabled athletes. They put them together, and the name change and the medal payout, I think, is affirmation that they see it as equal.
So I want to just have Joseph and Kendall, who are our school standouts, to give us a final thought. What would you want to tell people that are listening to this, Kendall?
A lot of people when they see me, they think like, oh, how unfortunate. You have cerebral palsy. It must be like the end of the world. And no, it's not. And as I said in the interview, you know, a lot of people think that because I have cerebral palsy, like I can't live a complete life. And I honestly really hate it when people say that because, first of all, what is even a complete life? And second of all, you know, we all have limitations and mountains in our own lives. And the only difference between you and me is that you can see my challenges. And, you know, anyone with any challenge can accomplish their dreams. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's cerebral palsy or something else. And, you know, I'm no different than any other kid. Everyone has their own challenges. And, you know, I'm going to move this mountain. And and that's what I'm going to do. End of story.
So, if you want to nominate a teacher, a student, or anyone connected to a school, all you have to do is go to fox11schoolstandouts.com, click on the nominations link, fill out the form, and we'll look at those applications. Got to thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't subscribed, please do, and we will see you next time.